We're going to build the best football team in the SEC Conference. We're going to build the best football program in the SEC Conference.
You have now arrived at Stadium in Fair.
The kick, it's been lost again! How about it? It's been lost again! It's going to heat one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game!
You have now arrived at Stadium in Fair.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium in Fair. It's your boy Corey.
And Dan.
No Nick, man. Nick is on daddy duty officially. Congrats to my man Nick, man.
Congrats to Nick. Congrats to Lauren. Just a super exciting time. Baby came a couple of weeks early, but baby is healthy. Mom is healthy. Nick is just going to take this week and be a new father. And we could not be more over the moon for the both of them. Both of them are incredible people, going to be great parents. So Nick is now officially a girl dad. So if you have not, congratulate him and wish him the best of luck. I hope he got a bunch of sleep in before it happened on Sunday.
I tried to warn him. I don't think he was taking my advice, man. But the baby read the room. You know, she got it before football season. So, you know what I'm saying? She's definitely a diva. She needed her own time, dog. Can be sharing the season with y'all, man.
Uh-huh. That's right. Now, two weeks of unrequited attention. But congratulations to Lauren. Congratulations to Nick. Just an unbelievable group, a couple. Super excited for them. Brandon, shout out to you. Smash that like button if you're joining us. Hit that like button. Brandon said Nick is dodging the tank.
He is.
You know,
he is.
A few more pictures of Tank Hawkins show up on the timeline, a few videos, and all of a sudden Nick's like, Lauren,
baby saved him, man.
But so Corey, how was your weekend, brother?
I had a solid weekend, man. Just a lot of relaxation, football and the start of school, little league football and the start of school last week had me in a chokehold, brother. So this weekend had a lot of tailgate business to get done. We're getting closer to the season, super excited about like just football in general. So I was just locked inside for the most part, just getting stuff done, getting ready for the tailgate and resting. That's pretty much it, man. How about yourself?
It was good. What did I do? Played golf on Thursday. Somebody had to do it, right? I don't know if I told you guys, I signed up to do a fitness competition in November. So I've been doing some new and different workouts. I know I don't look super fitter than I look. Also, wearing a hat in the future moving forward.
Y'all bullying my guy, man. That's crazy. Bullying works, man. Bullying works.
Yeah.
Lizzo got in the gym and you're wearing a hat. That's crazy.
So doing some different workouts on Saturday, and then I went out for the boat for a little bit. Then a buddy of mine, he's a Gator by friendship. He went to Florida Gulf Coast, originally from Illinois, but he's a partial owner of a bar. So we went and celebrated his 1 year anniversary there. And then Brooke and I just went to the dog bar yesterday. Some real washed up activities. Went to the dog bar. Went around St. Pete for a while yesterday. So a great weekend. And then heading down to South Florida tomorrow. We'll be back Wednesday. So prayers to my family. There's a surgery scheduled for tomorrow. So if you're the type that prays, or if you could at least think of my family for tomorrow, that would be awesome. So let's get in.
We'll tell you that is real quick. That is something that would not thrive in the black community, a dog bar. Like, it'd be full of pit bulls and Rottweilers and like just crazy.
A lot of doodles here. Huskies, you know, a lot of fru-fru type dogs, you know. So this is you know, I did the running. I mean, they do a serious business over there. I don't know what the insurance and all that stuff is, but they got a huge, like half a block of St. Pete for this bar. It's called the Dog Bar. They didn't do a ton when it came to naming, but I guess it works. But it's been around for, I don't know, probably 10, 12 years now. Just an awesome place. But yeah, as hot as a Dickens yesterday, man, that cold front that we got for a couple days reared its ugly head yesterday and said, welcome back to August in Tampa, my friend.
I got a cold front?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not really. It was the front that kind of pushed that hurricane over to the Bermuda area. Yeah. It got rid of some of the humidity. And so instead of waking up and it being 78, 79 degrees in the morning in Tampa, 80, it was like 71. It was a beautiful morning on Friday and Saturday. But yeah, I mean, it still got to be in the 90s. It wasn't like an actual cold front, just a summer cold front.
Gotcha. Cool front.
Yeah, cool front. Cool. Corey, I want to talk a little bit about your tailgate. Flow Factor's putting on a tailgate. You guys signed you guys are bringing on a couple new people to the event. I know you also wanted to do a bit of a giveaway for tickets, and that's the Miami game. So why don't you go over that a little bit?
Florida, Miami, you know, we're going to start this thing off proper. We just added this week DJ Williams, former Kane, and also the owner of Dime Life. Dime Life is going to be coming up and posting up with us. But we got a tailgate right off of 23rd Street. We're at 21 Southwest 23rd Street. If you go to any of our social media pages, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, you can easily find a link to the tailgate. It's in our profile and also plenty of tweets. We're on Posh as well. If you have that app or you want to search us on the app, we're on the Posh website. We have a lot of special guests, Channing Crowder, Ahmad Black, Mike Pinckney, of course, Ahmad Richards, my co-host on Flow Factory, Deontay Thompson, Kevin Taylor, Stadium Miguel crew. We all gonna be there, start appearing and whatnot, hanging out. It should be more names. I don't want to get too overzealous with what the names like that may not come. Spurious beer is gonna be in the building as well. So if you haven't had Spurious beer, you get an opportunity to come drink that. Sun Resub, shout out to Brunny Insurance, they're hanging out with us as well. Alma Mater, it's a lot of people, a lot of sponsors, a lot of pop-up. We're doing some merch giveaways. It's gonna be cornhole. We have a live DJ. Should be good vibes, man. Pull up. And also, if you need parking, we got parking tickets on the website as well. But we're gonna do a giveaway on this show.
Yeah, we want to do a giveaway. So I think what we're gonna do is anybody that comments during the show, their name will be listed in a raffle. We'll do like one of those spinning wheel raffles. If you do a super chat of $5, you'll get 10 entries, and every super chat above that, obviously, you'll get additional entries multiplied by however much that is. So trying to reward those that reward our program, but anybody can enter. No purchase necessary. I think in any sweepstakes you have to say that, but we want to be able to give somebody the opportunity to go to that Miami and Florida Miami Florida tailgate. Should be a lot of fun. Great location. Going to be a lot of great people. Done a lot of tailgates with Corey and his crew. They're just a lot of fun. A lot of banter, a lot of jokes. Drinks are heavy. The food will be outstanding. And it'll be ultimately just a fantastic time. So go ahead and go do that. Comment on the show. Like the show. Subscribe. Share it with a friend. I wish we...
It's a pair of tickets, too. It's two tickets.
Two tickets. So $5 super chat or more, get you 10 entries, comment during the show, you will be entered. It's not the amount of comments that you have, but if you comment during the show, you'll get listed in there, and then we'll do that after the show is over. All right, Corey, I'm kind of springing this on you. Brunt Insurance ad read. You ready?
Oh, man, I'm all ready for it, man. One time for the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Greg, what it do? Anything you may need insured from the Panhandle to the Keys. They also operate in the Southeast. So if you're in the Southeast, give my guy Greg a call at 954-589-2204. Or you can visit their website, get a free quote. The quote is absolutely free on home, auto, life insurance, boat, RVs, anything that you may need insured. My man Greg can take care of it. 954-589-2204. Big coverage. Brian Insurance and Financial Services.
All right, Corey, before we get into practice news and notes, the Gators grabbed a commitment over the weekend from four-star cornerback Ben Hanks Jr. His father was a linebacker at the University of Florida, coming from Booker T. Washington back in South Florida. 6'1", 170 pounds, ranked a four-star by all four major recruiting services. On3 has him ranked as the 72nd best player in the country, the number 10 defensive back. 247 has him ranked as the 81st ranked player and the 10th best cornerback in the country. ESPN has him ranked as a four-star, but we don't talk about ESPN rankings a ton on here. Beat out Miami, probably most notably Georgia, Florida State, a number of other schools. One of the top players in South Florida, in South Florida and defensive back room in the country. So congratulations to the Gators. Congratulations, Ben Hanks. Corey, what are your thoughts?
Don't call it a comeback, man. But Ben Hanks dropped. I forgot was his top eight at one point in the offseason. We weren't in that. And Will Harris got in his bag and got us right back into this recruitment. Don't take any legacies for granted. A good deal that Will Harris fought his way back into this recruitment. An elite prospect. He's built how they build him these days, man. 6'1", rangy, has that pedigree. Came down to us in Miami for the most part. Miami thought they had something. They was going to pull a fast one on us, but we came through.
Absolutely. No, that's a huge get. And as much as we like to think that legacies are surefire Gator commits in the future, that doesn't necessarily always not always the case. But obviously the Gators have been on a bit of a run with these guys from the 80s and 90s, now having kids and really helping the Gators. You know, you look at him, next year, you look at what Miles Graham's going to do, a number of other Gators. Cornelius Ingram's son committed to the basketball program, right? So that's three legacies in the course of a year and a half that all are going to make major impacts where they play. So just, again, a fantastic get for the Gators. The Gators are now the 20th ranked team in the country when it comes to recruiting. That number's jumped up, obviously, pretty considerably over the last few weeks as they've gotten a few commitments. They're 21st now. They dropped one spot from yesterday. That puts them 11th in the SEC. That number is going to climb here soon. Vernell Brown, also a legacy, forgot to mention him as well. So the Gators now have two of the top 10 ranked defensive backs.
That closing speed is crazy. Either on ball or off ball, his play doesn't drop off. He's a leader at both a lot. Like, some kids at this level could bully guys at the line of scrimmage, but they don't have the speed to play off ball and be able to close. This kid could do it either way, on ball, off ball, zone, man. Very versatile guy entering a room that's full of killers, but he's gonna be a kid that play early. And this competition just pushes each other, you feel me? So when he come in that room, anybody on campus can't be safe. They know what's coming on when Ben Hanks get on campus, that they got to fight for a position. He ain't there to wait his turn. So competition in the room, man. That's how we get back to DBU.
Yep, absolutely. So you add him with Demetrius Samuel, who is the guy that classified from 26 down to 25. He's ranked as the number four athlete in the country right now. He's going to play defensive back. Then obviously add Ben Hanks in there. Vernell Brown is the number six wide receiver in the country. Jalen Wiggins is the number eight overall defensive lineman in the country. And Josh Moore is the number nine wide receiver in the country. So a lot of quality, still need a bit more quantity in this group as well. But ultimately top of the class is very, very strong in terms of what they're going to be able to bring to the table. Do want to mention Joseph Mabachu. He's the defensive lineman that a lot of people hadn't heard of, has played zero seasons of football. He's played one off season of football. He just got offered by Texas. He's been offered by another of other programs as well, but definitely a guy that will probably rise the ranks when it comes to recruiting. And then I forgot to mention, of course, Nick wasn't here to correct me, our punter is ranked as the number three punter in the country. So six guys in the top 10 in their position. So great to get Ben Hanks. Still some more recruitments to come. Shout out to Big Rob, $20 super chat, man. Really, really appreciate that. We'll get you 40 entries into this raffle for
that's substantial. For the
tailgate. That's substantial. That's a lot, right? I mean,
substantial, man.
Right now he's got probably a 2/3 chance to win. So again, if you're just joining, comment gets you in. Super chat, $5 or more, gets you 10 entries. And then obviously every denomination above that will get you additional. So with that being said, Corey, do want to make another announcement and then we'll get into football. Linda Teeler left the University of Florida. She was in charge of, she was a deputy athletic director and the senior women's administrator. Pardon me. The Gators did announce that the UF General Counsel and Vice President Amy Haas has assumed that role. Chip Howard also got a promotion to COO of the athletic department, and then they shifted around some responsibilities within the athletic department. So again, Linda Teeler left to go to the NCAA a few months ago. Amy Haas is now your new deputy athletic director and senior women's administrator. And as we have done with everybody else that's on the administration, we will try to get her on the program to talk about her role in the University of Florida's athletic department. Corey, I do want to bring this comment, Mr. Marquise or Marquez, start winning games and the flips will come. What are your thoughts on that comment? You think that if the Gators win, or what's that number? You think there's gonna be a lot of flips, or what's your anticipation of this recruiting class?
Yeah, I think these guys can recruit. I don't think the lack of interest is anything, but like the games, everybody wants to see progress. The recruits want to see progress, and also the fans want to see progress. Everybody wants to see progress. So, yeah, I agree with that. I think there are some flips that we can make happen if we start winning. And then I don't think we have to wait to signing day for those flips to happen. If you get some momentum during the season, you know how that momentum feels when you're winning. Players are coming on visits, you know, doing these big games. We got some good home games this year as well. So if you can win with these kids at these big games, because we got the people keep saying our schedule tough, but a tough schedule means good game atmosphere, you know, sure. And that's very important to recruits. So, yeah, we're going to have the atmosphere if we're winning for, like, to make flips happen. So I'm with that take as well. But we're at 20th right now, right?
Yeah, 21st. Dropped a spot yesterday, sometime between yesterday and today when I looked it up. All right, let's get into practice news and nuggets. Before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. They just released a bunch of new cups, and they're going to be releasing more in the next few weeks here. If you want a cup that looks like this, it's got the Gators National Championship golf logo on it, this cool Gators mug as well. A bunch of new stuff. We just posted a few more that they put out SEC related. They have one with the kind of the SEC logo on one side and the Gator head on the other side. So go check them out. Best cups in the game. Very fair price. Going to beat the crap out of cups that are two or three times more expensive. So GameTimeSidekicks.com. Great customer service. Shipping very quickly. So again, GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM15 at checkout. It will get you 15% off of your order. I promise you with that discount code, you will not find a better cup for the price, as well as being able to support a sponsor, Stadium and Gale. So again, that's GameTimeSidekicks.com. Promo code STADIUM15 at checkout. We'll get you 15% off of your order. All right, Corey, high level, what have you heard about practice? We'll go over some notes here, but any causes of concern or anybody you want to shout out before we kind of break down each line of or each side of the ball? Or do you want to just break down each side of the ball?
I guess it depends on like who you talk to as well.
Yeah,
let's go side of the ball.
Okay, let's go. Let's start off then. It's our understanding from talking to some folks, at least it's my understanding, that the defense probably won the scrimmage on Saturday, or the last scrimmage, which is compared to probably a week before where the offense won. Is that what you've heard as well?
Yeah, I've heard that, and that's a better sign. You know, defense is usually ahead of the offense, but it's good that it's going back and forth. There's no true winner in the scrimmage.
No.
Leaving healthy is the biggest win in the scrimmage, but there's no true winner because first team offense is going against second team D. I was trying to figure out that part. I never got a clear answer on that, like which teams are facing which. But I was told that Graham Mertz had a real good day, was in command of the offense. Protection-wise, they're still trying to figure out that offensive guard spot on that in that total right side of the offensive line. They're trying to get that figured out, and it's still a patchwork situation. Kearney did get reps with the starters, is what I heard.
Yep.
Not all the reps, but he did get plenty, I think majority of the reps at right guard. Heard that he played good to decent there, you know what I'm saying? But nothing too concrete to make me feel better about that side of the line. But I did hear that the offense, as we can see in some of the highlight clips, they moved the ball. They just had some issues with Grammer, I think, through an interception to Castell, which is good news. Castell, we'll talk about defensive side of the ball, but I already had a very good day as well. I was shocked to see Cam Carroll get some snaps. That's what threw me off a little bit. I thought he was going to be a little bit one of those guys that, you know, ride the bicycle during the scrimmage and just train on the side because his injury was significant last year. There wasn't no cakewalk of a recovery. Right. But he looked healthy out there from the clips that I seen. I didn't see the entire scrimmage, but there's some clips out there of him getting busy a little bit. Mm-hmm. Hear that DK, is that how you say his name? Okay, cool. Yeah. Hear DK and Graham, their chemistry is showing itself from Wisconsin. I was concerned about that in the spring game with the lack of, you know, targets and receptions during that game, them having previous relationships and previous playing time together. I thought they would gel a little bit better in the spring game. That didn't happen. But I heard that chemistry is a little bit better, was a little bit better in this scrimmage as well.
Yeah, I think beyond the Cam Carroll note, I think Jacoby Jackson is a guy that's still turning heads, the former JUCO.
Yeah, 93 say a little life rain go up, baby.
Yeah. I mean, that's a hell of a comparison, but from everything that I've heard, I would not be surprised to see at least some of Jacoby Jackson this season, right? I think, you know, at the end of the day, that position is Montrell Johnson's position, right? And then I think that there's a pretty clear order that Treyon Webb is second. But I think it's going to be an interesting battle over what does second mean, how far below first is second, and then how far above.
Why are we so sure that Webb is second?
That's just what they're saying, is that Treyon Webb is the second string running back.
I think it's
the way that snaps are happening and just overall depth chart. I think Billy Napier indicated that it's Montrell Johnson, then Treyon Webb, and then figuring it out from there.
Okay. Be interesting to see how it all plays out, like, because I think that room is just cluttered. I think all those guys can play. Yeah. I don't think there's a big drop off. There's probably gonna be a drop off in just pass pro and overall knowledge of the offense when Montrell's not in there because how long he's been with Billy. Mm-hmm. But I think the rest of that room, bro, you got a legit dog fight for, like, and you could just make it a competition thing of like opportunity. Like, when you get a ball, you might want to make something happen because the next guy may go for 20-30 when he get it.
Right.
I would like to see where the pecking order is at by like game four and like reps, and because I'm hearing some good things about Jacoby as well.
Yeah, so obviously we've got Graham Mertz doing well. We've got kind of a bit of a log jam, you know, and we'll see what that log jam is, right? And is Jacoby Jackson or Jaden Barr, Kanan Daniels, or Trey Webb, how are they performing against what unit, right? And are they performing against really well against a second string or a third string unit? No slight to them, but what does that look like when you have to go against your Georgias and your Tennessees and Miamis, et cetera? What does that mean? And what does that mean when it comes to translating into carries? And also, like you said, the pass protection component of this is such a huge part of Billy Napier's offense and the ability for them and Jabbar Jalouk, you know, the running back coach, they pride themselves on making sure that that's a big part of that responsibility as well. So that might create some separation because obviously you don't want to tip your hand the way that they did with, you know, Trevor Etienne last year with having a guy just come out there and you know that he's going to more likely than not rush the ball rather than go out and, you know, whether it's a pass protection or a screen pass or whatever it might be. So, but that's what you want to hear, right?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I did hear that offensive line did pass protect better than the first game. And the offensive line does look stable. It's not like they're like in shambles. I've been told that it's not a bad bunch. It's just the left side is really good. And then the right side is you haven't found a guy to just grab a spot yet. You're at either spot on the right side. But from what I'm hearing, like the offensive line isn't looking bad whatsoever. I heard they were solid.
Yeah, I was told. Since our last podcast, that the offensive line, especially the right side of the offensive line, has played better. Right. What does that mean? I don't know. Right. And we encourage you with anything. We talked about it last week, is there's a limited amount of time that reporters can go watch practice. Scrimmages are closed, and you're just kind of dealing with the sources that you have and the information that they know. And who are you talking to? Are you talking to a source that's on the team? Was that person watching practice? Are you talking to a source that's a parent of somebody that maybe has a bit of a bone to pick, or maybe it would make sense if somebody else was starting over somebody else, right? So again, everything that we have there is a bit of hearsay and a bit of, you know, take it with a grain of salt, maybe a much larger grain of salt, maybe a brick of salt.
Yeah. I'm not sure on Tank. I know that's the question. Everybody's seen the picture of him in the sling, the team pictures. Haven't heard anything concrete from a trusted source, I would say, but I was told from a source that I don't really trust to like 100% that it's not a serious injury. Don't know if that, you know, infringes on him playing game one versus Miami. I haven't heard anything to that degree yet. Pretty sure we'll get an update from Billy soon.
Yeah, Billy's talking at 7:45 tonight. So once this podcast is over, you can go hit up the press conference, and I'm sure a comment that'll be brought up. And so it's not hearing about Tank Honkins in a thing. They took a picture and Tank Honkins was in a sling. That's not a rumor. He was physically in a sling. So
for sure. Yeah. Nick felt a little better, right?
Yeah.
Probably considering, but they had a picture of him on from the scrimmage that like he's skying up going crazy, man. So it's just been good smoke from him. Haven't heard a lot of smoke in the wide receiver room from Elijah Badger. Would love to see love to see him just get back. I know he's coming from an injury last year. Yeah. And we've seen his skills, the skill set that he brought to the field last year at Arizona State. But I mean, that room is just full of guys, man. Hearing great things about Aiden Mizell, Bird, Gene, you know, just Khalil Jackson's hooping, you know. Yeah. Trey Wilson's probably the only guy that really got his spot just locked down. Mm-hmm. Abrams is balling, you know. So many guys in that room. Like we're talking about Tank and what he's been doing. Like those guys are just, you know, just competition. That's what it does, man. That's what we need in the offensive line, bro. Like real, true dogs fighting for a spot. So I'd like to see Badger get better, but whoever wins it, we're going to have a killer, right? Who's ever getting those reps, they're going to earn it through fire, bro. So if he don't win it, he don't win it. He could be a rotational guy.
Well, and that's the thing, right? It's like we have been clamoring to have depth at some of these positions for a long time. And while some of this is unproven, right, we haven't had a lot of planks, you know, a lot of snaps, a lot of playing time themselves. You start to list all of these names of people. You're like, yeah, I want to see him on the field. It's like, all right, well, who do you take off to put Badger on the field? Or, you know, who do you take off to put Gene and Mizell on the field? And, you know, Khalil Jackson apparently has made some big, you know, steps up this offseason as well. And you can argue that DK and Mertz had a great connection at Wisconsin. And then obviously Eugene Wilson is going to get the bulkier snaps too. So all of a sudden it becomes this competition between them each week in practice, where it's not these are your three solidified starters. It's, oh, all of a sudden Marcus Burke is starting to step up into his role, or holy cow, we're starting to see Andy Gene really, you know, push Elijah Badger for that fourth wide receiver spot or whatever it might be. This kind of competition makes a team better. Now we'll see if it translates on the field. We hope so, right? But like this, and in the running back room, like Jacoby Jackson may not get a ton of snaps this year, but I guarantee you he's making Jane Ball work harder. He's making Kanan Daniels work harder. He's making Cam Carroll work harder. He's making Treyon Webb work harder, right? That's what you want to see, you know, out of that position group. And it's awesome to see at those two positions, you know, explicitly that they have some competition.
That man said Frank Gore. Frank Gore ain't going to be missing the reps, boy. Like, he about to get some snaps this fall. For sure.
Yeah, no,
go ahead.
No, I'm just gonna say, smash the like button. Yeah, we'll do some quick stop here before we go into some of these other positions. Smash the like button, comment, we're giving away two tickets to the Flow Factory tailgate next Saturday. Please make sure, if you can't make it, to let us know, right? We don't want to give tickets if you're not going to be able to make it. Shout out to our folks in Alaska, but if you're not going to like make it, or Indonesia, right? If you're not going to make it, then let us know. But any super chat over $5 gets you 10 entries in, and then every $10 above that will get you 10 additional entries. So, smash the like button, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, all of that other stuff that we talked about early on. Harrison, shout out to you. Hope Vale's treating you well. Let's get to
show Harrison, man. Shout out to Harrison, bro. I need to change my profile picture,
His sauna and cold plunge rotation.
That's by the way, have you ever done a cold plunge? Got there. Have I ever done a cold plunge? Yes, yeah, man. I did one. I used to go like these Russian bathhouses, like no like Diddy, no Wow stuff. But these are these Russian bathhouses like in down in Miami. And my girlfriend at the time, my wife now, but she used to take me down. I used to get like the Groupon every year, go down into the bathhouse. They had like 10 different saunas, from like a cold sauna. They had the plunge. They had like 5 different heat saunas, from a humidity sauna to a dry sauna.
Yeah.
Then you had the massages and all that, but yeah, I've done cold plunges, man. It's life changing a little bit.
It's a hell of a. I did my first one on Saturday. Not for me, but we're gonna keep after it. We're gonna keep after it.
You do the cold showers in the morning or no?
Yeah, but not at 44 degrees.
Yeah, no, that's different. That's different.
All right, so let's talk offensive line. I know that you mentioned tight end, but we'll get to offensive line first. So as far as we know, right, you have Austin Barber at left tackle. You have Najee Harris at left guard. You have Jake Slaughter at center. And then this is where there's a lot of moving pieces and trying to fight for those last two spots. So you have Damian George, a potential right guard. He's the starting right guard currently. And then you have redshirt senior transfer Brandon Crenshaw Dixon, who came from South Dakota State. You also have redshirt freshman Caden Jones and redshirt junior Cam Waits trying to battle out for those additional spots as well, or to try to earn the spot in the starting lineup. Are you hearing much different? I think we've heard that the left side is doing really well and the right side is getting better and maybe not as bad as everybody made it seem. But what kind of names are you kind of thinking are going to be starting?
Man, I said that last show, just give me, like, I've seen enough, and there's none of this is disrespect to him at all, but I've seen enough of George already, in my opinion. At this point and where he's at in his career, if he can't just grab the job from a young guy like Kearney and it's still a battle, just give me Cam Waits or Kearney, man. You know, give me one of the young bulls. That way you can grow and develop these guys a little bit more at this point. Like, I think if George can't snatch the job at like right now, and then he is who he is, man. I don't think he's gonna change his zebra stripes before game one. So I heard good things for Kearney. Every clip I see with Kearney, I don't care who he's facing. It's just, you know, like two silverbacks going to war. And it's not like a bunch of, you know, like turnstile stuff going on, man. So we'd love to see Cam Waits or Kearney, preferably Kearney, win that thing out. But the best man win the job. But regardless, there's going to be a microscope on Rob Sale and his offensive line. Like, he's got to have it together. Because I don't know if his family has Twitter and social media, but
they're going to delete it. We've already seen one coach delete Twitter.
Hey, man, it gets ugly on there, bro.
Funny me. Probably all the same people that call me bald. Jason Yuli, thanks for the super chat. I really appreciate you. Great show, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Watching. Appreciate it, my dude.
Devin Manuel, the transfer from Arkansas, he's repping behind Austin Barber at left tackle. I think that there's a pretty big gap there. So we got to hope that Austin Barber stays healthy for this year. Some other names, Bryce Lovett, is potentially a backup at left guard. Rod Kearney is also battling for that spot as well. I know we just talked about Kearney on the opposite side there. And then Christian Williams is also battling in that right guard spot, although I've not heard that he's in one of those top two spots. So he might be third. But again, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about. What's the difference between your second, third, and fourth running backs? What is your first, second, third rotation? Or what does that look like at the right guard position? Obviously, it's different than running back. You're not cycling in your right guard and right tackle every, you know, few plays. But what's the delta between one and two and two and three? So we'll see that. Caden Jones, somebody just mentioned him. Shocked Caden Jones isn't showing much. Was so high on him out of high school. There's just so much that has to happen for guys to play on the offensive line, from size and speed, but also the ability to understand the role. A lot of these guys, when they come out of high school, are just so used to playing guys that are so much smaller than them or slower than them, or just not as mature physically or, you know, with the game as you are in college. Right. So I think that Caden Jones, and like I said, if College Football 25 is any indication, Caden Jones will be an outstanding player for the University of Florida. Might not be this year, but it's one of those positions that you want, unless you get kind of an alien to come, that's going to be a 2, 3, or 4 year development before you truly see a lot of these guys really start to prosper on the offensive line.
Hey, Brandon, you just entered a chance to go to the tailgate, man. You're going to be in the drawing. We're doing a drawing for everybody that popped up a little bit late. We're having a tailgate, Full Factory tailgate. We are doing a drawing for everybody that comments. They enter that drawing for a chance to win 2 tickets to the tailgate. We'll get into more. I'm going to do a whole other ad read, but I did want to update people on what the giveaway we're doing.
Juan Manuel asked a question about Elijah Badger learned the playbook enough to start. I don't have Elijah Badger as a starting wide receiver to start the year. That doesn't mean that won't change, but Elijah Badger just came onto campus, a month and a half ago. There's still a lot of time to learn, and it's not just knowing what plays are going to be called. It's being able to know and have the chemistry with the quarterback, and I think that you're going to see quite a bit of Elijah Badger this year, but I don't have him starting week one.
Yeah, Crenshaw Dixon did go to San Diego State, and that's
South Dakota my bad. State. Did I say South Dakota State?
Yeah, respect the Dakotas, man.
I love the Dakotas. Dakota Dan, right? Wyoming Dan, Dakota Dan. Thank you. Sorry, Franklin. Definitely meant San Diego State. There's some other name. I think what we've got in terms of who you might see on the offensive line this year. Again, I think that there's been some improvement. I know Billy Napier said that there's a lot of confidence in that group. He's got confidence in Coach Sale and Coach DeCosta.
Gotta show me, man.
We'll see, right? We'll see against Miami
right now.
Those are the names right now. So again, I think if you were to start today, you have from right to left, I think you have Brandon Crenshaw Dixon, George Barber. Slaughter, left guard, and then Austin Barber. What do we say? Najee Harris at left guard. So Barber in the middle, Harris and George are your guards, and then Barber and Crenshaw Dixon today at tackle.
Gotta stay healthy. Scrimmages are over. Put them boys in bubble wrap, man. It shows definitely on the offensive line, man. We need everybody. Once we start mixing and matching, it could get a little dicey, man. But Artis Bortenham at tight end, it's been a name from the entire camp. I mean, he had a good spring as well. He's healthy, but hearing there's a lot of maturation in that room, and he's a mixed match problem. For he's too big for DBs, and he's, you know, a little bit too elusive and quick for his size for a linebacker. So he's going to be a matchup problem. Got a touchdown in some practice clips that we saw earlier this week, beating DJ Douglas. And then in the scrimmage clips as well, he scored a touchdown. So it's been good things that he could be one of those guys, like an all SEC type tight end.
Yeah. So, again, Arliss Bortenham and Hayden Hansen who Nick compared to Odom, Jonathan Odom. So if he's better than that, make sure that you're in his mentions. He loves to see that. Tony Livingston and Keon Zipperer are your other two backups to Boardingham and Hansen. After that, you have the Air Force transfer, Caleb Rilios, and freshman Amir Jackson in that group. Russ Calloway said, look, we've got a really good room, and it starts with Arliss and Hayden. They've done a tremendous job. Tony's done a really good job. Very excited about Amir and Caleb. They both bring different elements to the room, Amir being a freshman, Caleb kind of being the vet to come in and give you a couple different looks. I feel really good about our room. And most importantly to me, this is the first time in that room and this team that we truly say we have that Gator mentality. I can look in that room and say, hey, he's got that Gator in him. He's got that growth mindset that we want. He's got that work ethic. I think ultimately that's the biggest difference, not only in our room, but in our offensive unit. I'm super excited.
Should be. I want to see how well Arliss blocks this year. See if he makes some growth in that department. But should be good for him and Hayden, I think. It just depends. Like, it's only one football, so I don't know how many targets a lot of receivers that we got. I don't know how many targets the tight end room can get, but I think they're going to be productive for whatever targets they do get. Yeah. We got two big guys that can get open.
I mean, that's, I think that's what we talked about last week, right? Is like Florida averaged what, like 66 or 68 plays per game last year. About 38 of them were running, right? So all of a sudden you start to dwindle this down, and then you're like, dude, I'm pumped about our wide receiver room. Dude, I'm pumped about our tight end room. And then all of a sudden you're like, man, that guy might be really, really good and get four snaps a game.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you something. If my offensive line was solidified, I'd be talking crazy out here. Because I'm super hyped about even the DB room. We're about to talk defense. But what I'm hearing from, like, the defensive side of the ball, like the improvements Will Harris brought, I'm super hyped about the skill positions, man. Linebacker, like, I'm super geeked.
Yeah.
But the offensive line is just, you know, it isn't super positive like all the other positions. So it gives me – and I know the game starts in the trenches. So the microscope is definitely going to be on sale. But if that offensive line, they was giving me good reports back on that. Man, I'd be talking super greasy on the timeline. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I know you're just a little greasy.
Man, you think Frank Gorlock was something that 93 told, bro? Like, I'll be out here calling Arliss Antonio Gates, you know, Mertz, Tom Brady, whatever I gotta do, baby.
Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah. What do you think? We can talk that later. I want to talk Aaron Hernandez documentary before we get out of here.
Oh yeah. We can. We'll add that to the agenda here. I've not seen anything. I've not watched the clip of it, but I am curious. We'll talk about that at the end there. So with that, Corey, offensive side of the ball. Anybody else? Anybody in the chat? You guys want us to mention or talk about? We will. But I think that's a pretty good kind of synopsis of where the offense is today. There's a lot on the defense that we're going to talk about. All right, cool. Let's get a quick ad read to our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit alumnihall.com. They have these new premium packages that you can get that come with a koozie, a couple different shirts, some stickers that you can get. They have two different plans for different shirts that you can get. Really cool designs there. They also have about 20 other different University of Florida logo shirts that they have now. They're going to be releasing some more before the season starts. But go check them out. If you order now, you'll definitely get the shirts before the game against Miami. So again, go check them out, alumnihall.com. Promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout will get you 15% off of your order. Rob, you mentioned about Burke. I think it's just a crowded room, right? I mean, I think there's an opportunity to play, but
yeah, gotta make the best of your opportunities, man. And that's what competition does. You get the ball, man, you want to make something happen and get more reps, get more targets, bro. But yeah, I'm hearing Burke had a real good camp, having a real good camp as well,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
Some days he's been unstoppable.
Yeah. Harrison asks, Man, that's a hell of a photo. Great lighting. Dan.
Man, so, look at that, bro. That's professional studio quality right there.
You have Eugene Wilson, DK, and Jackson starting, if not who. I was on a Spaces last week, and that's who I said is my starting three against Miami. I think that that could change before the season's over, but I think that that's going to be your starting three.
Then they break the huddle with those three?
Yep.
Yeah, from a health standpoint – I'm just going to be different, right? DK.
DK, yeah. Sorry.
No disrespect. DK for Mizell for me.
Rob's got Burke, Badger, and Eugene Wilson. I appreciate your super chat, Rob. I don't know if we're going to see that today, game one. I think that there can be a lot of change. I think that that might be a position where you have some starters, but like the difference between a starter and your number four, your number five, or number six wide receiver might not be all that different. We'll see what they roll out, right? And we'll see who's not making mistakes, who's consistently where they need to be, and who's blocking, right? They care a lot about what these guys do beyond just going and catching the ball as well. So there definitely could be some changes there. Yeah, Spencer's got Jackson, Wilson, DK. Flip Season's got Eugene, Burke, and Jackson. And Harrison loves what Rob had to say. So,
put that. I answer that question real quick. Put that question there. I like that. That's a good question.
Which one? This one?
Yeah. How do you feel about UM reports? Have them feeling great about their trenches? I feel that the practice are closed. Like, it's all closed, right? And then we have people that are actually Green Tree is absolutely closed. He's not getting any injury news out there. They're being secretive about whatever's going on that they can, which is could be good, could be bad. If they lose, then everybody's gonna be questioning why everything's closed off. He's like, you know, they're running the shit show behind the scenes. If they win, then it was good keeping everything close knit. But it's just more access to our practices, you know. So our injuries are getting out there. Billy is saying who's injured and what they're dealing with. It's just more information out there. And they could say whatever they want behind the scenes, right? They could say, you know, they got Michael Vick, you know, Barry Sanders, and Deion Sanders. Like, we wouldn't know, right? Like, we just got to go by what they're saying. So I just think our camp right now just has one. They do got good trenches, just to be on a buck with you. They have recruited well. Mario, that's his specialty, his offensive line. So they look to be stout, but we took that thing too. I like our defensive line's caused some havoc, but they are considered to be more stout with offensive line. Defensive line, they got to show me outside of Bang.
This question got answered in the chat by Brandon, but Juan Manuel V, or either Juan Manuel the fifth or Juan Manuel V, said if Montrell Johnson doesn't go, who of the running backs can pass protect?
Well,
Treyon Webb. I think Jacoby Jackson is definitely a guy that could do that, and I would say that Jaden Ball is probably more built for it. But we'll see, and that again could be your delineation line between second, third, fourth, fifth, and that's what we're saying. What's the delta between those? A lot of it's going to come down to some of the intangibles and some of the what are you doing when you're not involved in the play, or what are you doing as a part of your pass protection, right? Because if your right side is not as strong as they think it could be, or just not a strength of the team, you know, what are your tight ends doing, you know, to help alleviate some of that stress, and what's the running back doing? And I can tell you, if there's a blown up pass protect, that could really modify what that depth chart looks like if it's consistent. So, all right, let's get to the defensive side of the ball. Again, the defensive side of the ball had an outstanding scrimmage. According to Zach Albaverde, they said that they dominated the line of scrimmage, according to his sources. So we had Graham Mertz throwing a couple passes out of bounds because nobody was open. Jordan Castell picked off a pass. Jakeem Jackson picked off a pass. Tyreek Sapp had a pick six on a tipped pass. Gregory Smith, who a lot of people, Corey, I know you were really high on him.
I thought I was lying. They thought I was lying. Damn, I don't lie, bro.
No, you don't. We delete the truth from the internet, you know? It's like all those ray gun breakdancing videos that are all of a sudden deleted from the internet. All Corey's lies are deleted as well. Gregory Smith, And then George Gums again.
I mentioned him like the last show too. I was like, he looks the part. Like he's one of those guys that looks the part. He looks like one of those guys you want to get off the bus first. Pass rush is definitely a thing that we got to improve on. Like offensive line was bad last year, but that was definitely the worst pass rush I remember as a Gator fan in my entire like life. Yeah. So,
Yeah, and then Justice Boone made a highlight reel. He blew up the offensive line and was able to get a sack. So feeling confident, right, about what this defense could be. Seems that
I want to know. Yeah, I want to know, like, because Greg Smith is rumored to be getting not rumored, it's happening. He's getting reps with the ones as a true freshman, which is. I like his skill set, but he played a lot of quarterback in high school. So he wasn't a full-time DB. So I thought the transition to the college level would take a little bit longer. But as far as athleticism, his size, you know, his ability, I thought he was a different type of twitched-up athlete. We lost Xavier Fasami to Texas. Mm-hmm. And I said it then. I don't think there's a big drop-off. If there's a drop-off, he may be better. He's just not a full-time DB. He didn't camp as a full-time DB. He camped as a quarterback or as an athlete. But had he had camped and worked out as a DB his entire recruitment, I think he would have been ranked way higher or right around where Fasami was at. And he's starting to show himself in camp. Pause. Woo.
Woo.
But,
Russian and showing himself.
The Russian bathhouse is definitely wholesome, man. This is not that type of bathhouse.
No, 100%. Yeah.
It wasn't Illuminati or anything like that there. Yeah. But, nah, it's good. I want to know who's the other safety besides Castell, you know, not George Smith. I heard Austin Turner's making plays as well at star down by the line of scrimmage. I heard some great things about him all camp. He's just a playmaker. He got a nose for the ball. Not saying he's like Polamalu, but, man, yeah, Polamalu. I might as well lie. 93 lie, I'm a lie too, man. I'm hearing, like, baby Polamalu type vibes, bro. He just got a nose for the ball, great instincts. But I want to know if George Smith isn't that safety on the other side of Castell, who else could it be? Who's making noise? DJ Douglas got barbecued by Arliss, so that gave me, like, you know, got a little nauseous when I seen him get cooked like that by a tight end. But we'll know who's the other safety, who's making some noise at the other spot, and I'll have to get some more intel on that.
Yeah, no, I've heard Asa Turner is probably that guy at the other spot. But again, it doesn't hurt to have depth. I've got a football question for you. You play defensive back. You never play quarterback, right?
No. In the men's league, in the men's flag league, I did.
Yeah.
You got busy.
Do you think that George Smith, obviously physically there, instinctively there, do you think him having played quarterback probably makes some of that transition easier? Yeah.
100%. Especially with today's games. Not play quarterbacks. It's just a different throwing era. But yeah, knowing the field, knowing coverages, knowing what a quarterback is looking for, like first check, you know, the reads. I think it definitely helps him 100%.
Let's get to defensive line here real quick, just because I know that we're trying to break down each position because there's a lot of excitement at the linebacker position. I don't want to get too overzealous. So again, new position coach, Gerald Chapman. If you want to get hyped up one morning, maybe you don't have coffee. Maybe you got up a little bit early and you're ready to go in the office. Go watch some Gerald Chapman videos. He'll get you pumped up. Right now, like that? You say what?
He hyped like that?
Yeah, dude. To me, it'd be a little much, right? But, maybe to these guys, that's what they need. So right now, it looks like at nose tackle, obviously, you have Cam Jackson. And then you've got a whole host of names, right? Like you have Caleb Banks. You've got Joey Slackman. You've got Kelby Collins. You've got Brian Taylor. You've got Brown, the transfer to Tavares. Yeah, there's an O in there that threw me off and said Tavares, and then DeAndre Robinson, obviously a freshman as well. You've got Desmond Watson, Micah Boyeroo, Jamari Lyons obviously got injured. So that kind of looks to be your defensive line and not edge, but those are the names that you're going to probably see the most of. What do you think there? Obviously, they don't have a ton of depth at nose tackle, so you're going to probably push one of your ends into that spot, right? And that's why you're seeing Kelby Collins and Brian Taylor's names being thrown in there. But you have Cam Jackson and Joey Slackman as your starting defensive tackles. What do you think it looks like after that?
I think on some that's okay for some like the pass happy teams that we're playing. But I think game one in Miami, you got to go with the beef. I think you got to beef it up a little bit heavier than squeezing a D tackle, a defensive end down the D tackle, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I know they got Cam Ward coming in, but Mario's going to be Mario. They're going to want to lean, you know, that offensive line, to quiet the stadium down, you know, to slow the game down a little bit. They're going to want to run the ball in between the tackles. I think you got to get Big 21 out there as much as you can. And also Cam Jackson, but I think you're going to need the meat. You need big meat out there,
right? Big meat out there. Yeah, I think,
We're playing a pass happy team, like, you know, that's going to throw the ball 40 times a game, and we need pass rush. Then you essentially got like a, you know, a NASCAR package with a defensive end squeezed down a defensive tackle. But I think Kelby Collins is more than capable.
Yeah. No, and I think that's what you might see. You know, you have Kelby Collins, obviously a very capable defensive lineman. It's a different position, right? And we're not trying to undersell, the loss of Jamari Lyons and what that looks like. That's a big loss for the Gators, but they do seem to have some capable, experienced bodies that should be able to get some sort of push. Again, it's different, and, you know, you're going to probably have to modify, you know, a big part of your defense to be able to cover what some of that gap might be. And, you know, hoping that maybe, right, like, and this is probably just a fool's errand, right, to think, but, you know, hope that you can maybe get a little bit more out of Watson this year, right? Obviously, he's a big, you know, stuffer up the middle, right? But you hope that you can get a little bit more consistent play out of him as well to be able to earn those spots. But it does seem to have, you know, some consistently experienced defensive linemen that can come in, right? Because you look at that list, Cam Jackson, senior, Joey Slackman, senior, Kelby Collins, sophomore, played a lot, Brian Taylor.
I do want Kyle.
Say what?
I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, you're good. Kelby Collins, sophomore, obviously played a lot last year, flashed at times. Brian Taylor comes from junior college. And then Brown also is coming from junior college as well. So what does that look like, right? And then Desmond Watson's a senior. Hope to see something there. Micah Boyeru's a freshman. So and then Deontre Robinson's a freshman too, right? So what does that line look like? You know, and how is Joey Slackman translate from Ivy League to SEC play? There's been a lot of great things about Joey Slackman that's been said, but again, it's about translating, you know, on Saturday for 12 weeks, hopefully more than that. But
yeah. I would like to just from a development standpoint, I would rather Kelby stay outside, because I know he's been switching positions and moving around quite a bit, you know. Mm-hmm. Just from a development standpoint, would like to see him. I'm with because Harrison put that up. I would rather see Banks, Dez, Slackman, and Cam kind of hold that nose down, you know, putting Slackman and, of course, Banks there in a crunch, and if you got to shuffle things around. But y'all prefer Kelby Collins' development not to get disrupted in his sophomore year. I think he can have a pretty big year at a defensive end. He's a matchup problem right there. You put him at nose, you're probably just making him a regular guy, not a difference maker.
It's kind of like what Tyreek Sapp happened to him, right? Like he moved all around, and all of a sudden he's at one position for another year, and all of a sudden now he's like showing this freakish athletic ability. You're like, man, that would have been really cool to see last year or the year before. But again, they were running into a situation. Harrison still don't want Dez playing more than 20, 25 snaps a game. I don't think he's going to play that many. That's what he was playing last year. Additional depth. I think that, you know, Dez is probably a 10 to 15 play guy, right? And obviously it depends on packages, where teams are on the field, what they're doing. You know, but if you can get a healthy 10 to 12 snaps out of him, maybe those snaps are more impactful, right? But you don't need a 400-pound guy running 25 snaps a game if you can help it and you have some better talent on the defensive, you know, in the middle of the defense there.
Right. I got to follow up on some TJ Searcy information, because I like his freshman year as well last year. But I know there's been some guys we brought in to rush the passer that has been making some noise. I heard he's having a good camp, but I haven't heard anything like crazy. And I expected him to kind of take off this year. And that still could happen, but I just got to hit my sources and see what everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
McCray is just a different type of freshman. He's built like a grown-ass man. He's probably the biggest guy at his position right now, the true freshman. Them five stars just hit different. Yeah. He's definitely going to contribute. It's just a competition at every spot, but offensive line. So it's the same thing at DN, bro. It's going to be a fight for snaps, man. And when you get your snaps, you got to go get buckets, man, because the guy behind you want them reps. So it's just good competition at every spot, man. We got some talent. We're going to see how it all unfolds this fall, but we definitely got some talent in some key spots. I think a lot of the country sleeping on the Florida Gators this year, bro. Not to hype us and blow smoke and have tunnel vision with what we got and be in the bubble here a little bit. But just from a recruiting standpoint and talent-wise, when I look at what we brought in and the way they built this thing, it's there. They got to coach it up, but the talent is there everywhere but offensive line.
Yep. Let's talk a little bit about the F position, right? So that's where you've got Justice Boone, Tyreek Sapp, Cameron James, and then LJ McCray. There's been a lot of hype about that room. Justice Boone's coming back from surgery that kept him out last season. Tyreek Sapp is truly developing in that role again. A big scrimmage that he had this past week. And then LJ McCray, he's going to be a hard guy to keep off the field, and I think he's going to push those guys a lot, right? So I think you have Boone and Sapp, and then I think you probably have McCray, although I've not heard anything but positive news about Cameron James too. So Cameron James is from Gainesville. A lot of people weren't really sure, you know, what his impact might be, but that's a guy that's improving as well. And Billy Napier called that the most competitive room on campus. So, I mean, I'm pumped about what that can be, right? Like Justice Boone, you saw flashes of it. Tyreek Sapp, we've seen flashes of it. LJ McCray is this all world five-star coming in. And then all of a sudden you have Cameron James, who I don't know how many people penciled him in to play, you know, this year, right? But if he's pushing them and he's earning playing time fighting those guys, and obviously Cam James is doing something right too, right?
You got to, like, if you want to eat, bro, you got to fight at the table, bro. This ain't, you know, it's free lunch, but everybody is who get in line first, bro. Like, you got to get the reps, man. So competition is just everywhere. Linebacker room is just full of killers as well, bro.
We'll get the linebacker room. I know we're pumped to talk about.
That's the room I'm ready to lie about right there.
Position. So I'll have to talk about Jack.
Yeah.
So at the Jack position, you have TJ Searcy is likely your starter. Yeah. And then you have George Gums. And then
Gums is eating out there.
And then Jack Pyburn. You also have Quincy Ivory, the redshirt junior. Transfer from junior college. Can't forget about Jamarcus Weston. So I think Searcy is your guy. Searcy is your guy. You know, you probably get a bulk of those snaps, but you know, George Gums has come in and really impressed. And then, you know, the wild man, Jack Pyburn, you know, he's coming off of an ACL injury. So that's going to be, you know, taking some time to get, you know, back into playing shape and everything else. Not just playing shape, but the game physicality shape. But I mean, it's another room right there, right? I mean, we don't know what we're going to get out of George Gums yet. We've heard good things. We've seen Jack Pyburn at times do some good things, do some bad things. But I think that spot is going to be much more heavily TJ Searcy than George Gums, and probably a pretty big jump down to Jack Pyburn and then Quincy Ivory. I've not heard much. There's been a couple people that have asked about him. I've not heard much about Quincy Ivory so far.
Nah, me neither. But I think Gums is going to get a healthy amount of reps, man.
Yeah.
TJ Searcy showed a lot of promise his freshman year. Harrison is like the third. He's like taking the next spot on the show, man. But he does need to work on some pass rushing moves, but that just comes with, you know, we got different decent defensive line coach as well. That's a lot of just development. We'll see where he's at with it this year. Pass rush for everybody just got to get better. But that front seven, man, just vastly improved from last year, bro.
Yeah.
We'll see what Ron Roberts do with these guys with some of the calls that he's bringing in.
You ready to talk about linebackers?
Let's go, bro. That's what I've been saving most of my lives for, bro. We got Lawrence Taylor out there, man.
So
straight up, bro.
So again, new linebacker coach, co-defense coordinator, Ron Roberts. Your two starters right now, Shamar James and Pup Howard,
Big Pup.
Childs, Miles Graham. They are going to see the field this year. There's no doubt about that. And then RJ Moten and Derek Wingo are probably your six that you're going to hear from this season. So it's Lion season.
Yeah, dog. It ain't pup. It's dog now, man. Big dog. Straight up. Yeah, like Shamar. Yeah, Big Dog Howard, bro. That's what they call him, man. Big Dog Howard. One of those guys you definitely want getting off the bus. I was a little concerned, you know, about his foot speed, and you know, he's a bigger guy. He's a big linebacker, which we've been missing those traditional linebackers. But we already know what Shamar James brings to the table. You know,
I completely forgot. Brandon, that's my bad. I forgot Jaden Robinson.
Jaden Robinson, the whole room.
Great camp. Yeah, that's my bad.
And the great camp. And we got some head busters in the middle, bro. Pause. But I don't think there's a lot of drop-off, man. Like, and I'm not even trying to – the drop-off is just going to be knowledge and instinct-wise and experience more than anything, because once you get Aaron Childs and Miles Graham, they're true freshmen. But Jaden Robinson is that little cushion in between. He's a guy with some experience, but he's having a great camp as well. I heard Miles Graham had another guy that had an awesome scrimmage, made some plays. But those starting two, Shamar James, Pup Howard, I already know, like, Miami going to want to run the ball, baby. They got to run the ball, dog. The quiet down them 90,000 in the stands. They got to calm things down a little bit, bro. He got to get on the center to be able to hear himself breathe and think. And we got two killers, man. The best two linebackers we've had since Antonio Morrison and what's my guy's name?
Trying to think.
Man. Went to Detroit. Got drafted by Detroit. What am I
Alex Anzalone? No, not Alex Anzalone. Davis.
Gerard Davis. Yeah, this is definitely our best linebacker corps since those two guys. 100%.
Without a doubt. And I think you have some depth too, right? It's not just that your top two are really good.
Size.
Yeah. Speed.
Yes.
The type of guy that will do a cannonball into a cold plunge. I know Joey Slacky does that, but these seem like those type of guys. You know, they are built like linebackers. They are built. They're not just your tweener types. No offense to the guys that have been here the last 7-8 years, but it's nice to talk about linebackers with, let's say it before, pause. It's nice to talk about linebackers with size, right? They look the part. They're playing the part. They're out-competing one another. Shamar James is your solidified starter. Pup Howard is your solidified starter. Do not be surprised if you see Aaron Childs, Jaden Robinson, and Miles Graham all getting significant snaps this year. That's going to impact Derek Wingo, right? And having Derek Wingo is good for that room. That's going to impact RJ Moten. You know?
Already.
Not everybody can play. There's only certain snaps on the field, so.
You gotta make plays happen, bro. That's like I said. I don't want to keep echoing myself, but this is how you make a better football team. Is when you got a lot of guys that could start at the SEC program. We haven't had that in a while, so we'll see how it all plays out. But I feel good about the linebacker room. I don't have a lot of my biggest reservation is just the injury that the defensive tackle that nose tackle. So that threw us off a little bit. And we got to show up with some guys at nose. But other than that, the room is being rebuilt. I don't think we've talked enough about Ron Roberts, what he brings to the table this offseason. I seen that from a lot of the clips that I'm seeing, we're stunting. Ron Roberts is notorious for stunting and creating pressure, getting creative with it. When he's had teams that weren't just one-on-one beaters in the trenches, he's designed defenses and gotten sexy with how he got to the quarterback. So I'm expecting him to sprinkle some of his dust on this team a little bit as well. And also, that's an advantage for us early in the season because I think our defense is going to look schematically different with how we attack teams, I would say. With Ron Roberts having some you know, opinion and some of his sauce on the defense.
Absolutely. Stunting like my daddy.
Yes, sir.
Not my daddy. So linebacker room looks great from what we've heard, what we've seen. It finally sounds like Florida's got some depth at the linebacker position. Still might be young. Obviously, Jaden Robinson only played I think he played in all 12 games last year. I think he had about four tackles, if my memory serves me right. But we've heard great things about him. And then I just think it's going to be hard. No matter how good Shamar James and Pup Howard are, it is going to be tough to keep Chiles and Graham off the field as well. So I do want to talk about having all of these guys make special teams, hopefully, right? We haven't seen it in 2 years. But all of a sudden, now you have a lot of these dogs that can really earn some reps.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
Turn special teams. I mean, Urban Meyer was the king of that, making like special teams opportunity for you to make plays and also, and get on the field. And then even this, that's just a football like rite of passage, like to the guys that aren't starting, is to like, yo, let me go out and smack somebody and get the coach's attention or to make a play on special teams. Pyburn was good about that last year. Win, lose, or draw, Pyburn was just running down the field smacking people for no reason. He just wanted contact, bro. Like, it was a touchback, and he's just smacking the shit out of people. Special teams should improve. We should get 11 on the field, and we should have, like, guys that get out there to make plays and not just be out there just to be on the team or to just get another rep.
Yeah.
But it does feel good to have got like true linebackers, like that are linebackers, not guys that we were like DeJuan Blacks and no shot at him, but we got a lot of DBs. And from an instinctive standpoint, you can't teach somebody how to be a linebacker. People are just born linebackers.
Yeah.
You can't wake up and teach somebody to want to put their nose in a blender.
Yeah, it reminds me of the movie Little Giants. And they're like, we knew he was going to be a linebacker. He's going to pushing the football across the field at 10 months old or whatever, across the living room at 10 months old, right? They're just built different, you know?
Built different, sure.
Let's talk about defensive backs again. No shortage of depth, a lot of names here. So I'm just going to run through a whole host of names here. So again, new secondary coach Will Harris, Jordan Castell, is going to be likely your starting safety. Jason Marshall is going to be one of your starting defensive backs. Devin Moore will be the other starter at cornerback at that position, allegedly, right? And right now we think that Asa Turner will be the other safety, right? So that puts Castell and Turner in the middle and then Devin Moore and Jason Marshall on the outside. They did add Jarquez Bridges and DJ Douglas, who will play at that safety position as well. And then you also have Bryce Thornton, who played started four games last year as well. So sticking at the safety position, what do you think? And then we'll talk about nickel and we'll talk about Sharif Denson and all that later. What do you think about that safety you're in?
Yeah, I wonder, like, how much of it is like a split? Is it a true strong safety, free safety situation? I do like the starter safeties with Asa, with, you know, experience on the back end and what he brings. He's just been making plays, and they got him listed as a strong safety. He's just a playmaker. Castell is going to be a superstar, I think, this year, bro. Like, straight up. I think he went through the fire last year as a true freshman and got cooked quite a bit. But I like Bryce Thornton last year as well. I think he showed some signs and some flashes. So I don't know if he's, but Bryce Thornton is a free safety more than a strong safety. Mm-hmm. So I'm just interested to know how they do the safety position a little bit. If it's a true strong, that's my only question at safety.
Yeah.
But Sharif Denson is a star. Somebody's talking about Sharif Denson in the comments, but he's playing the star, I believe.
Yeah. We'll talk about nickel here. We can just get right into nickel, right? So you have Sharif Denson. They call it the star position. You have Sharif Denson and Aaron Gates are probably your two starters. And then you've had Bridges and Douglas also work at that star position too. So what do you think? I mean, I think Sharif Denson, I think Aaron Gates has really done fantastic from everything that we've heard this offseason as well. But being able to then have the option of Bridges, who came from Oregon, and DJ Douglas, who came from Tulane, to add to that with their game experience as well. Like, again, that's one of those positions that we're talking about some serious depth here, not just in talent, but in playing experience, that, you know, these guys are going to push themselves. And that's going to be a fought hard.
You know what I like?
Start at.
You know what I like? Like, they brought in shout out to Castell, Sharif, Aaron Gates. Like, they brought in some veteran guys, some older guys in the portal, like with considerable amount of film, snaps, all of that. And these young boys holding their own on the depth chart. They're not falling back. Like, they know. Like, I don't care if you came in with 1 year to play through the portal, you got a nice little NIL deal, you still got to earn this spot. And this is what competition does. Like, shout out to Sharif Denson for just, you know, like, holding his spot down. I heard him hearing the same thing. Him and Gates is like 1A, 1B. But you got older guys sitting behind young bucks. Like, I like the way these guys are recruiting and developing. You know, like they got to win football games. But the just pure competition and the best man getting the spot, that was missing the last regime. No comparison. But this is how you just get to a really good competitive football team, man. But I do like that the young boys are holding down their spots.
I mean, outside of Joey Slackman, who's going to share responsibility, and Asa Turner, I guess, is probably your projected starter there. None of the transfers that have come in have beaten the guys ahead of them. I mean, I guess Pup Howard, right? So Pup Howard and Asa Turner are probably two projected with Joey Slackman. But the rest of these guys, they're fighting tooth and nail for these spots.
For spots, right? For sure. Now, guys that were coveted in the court.
Offensive line, at running back. At cornerback, at safety, nickel.
100%.
I mean,
100%. We got some dogs, bro. Some Florida dogs, man. Like, I know we're going to Port, they from everywhere else, but these some Florida killers, man. Are homegrown, you know. We're going to see what's up with it, but I do like that the young boys are holding down they corner, bro. That's what's up.
And then let's get to defensive back. Obviously, you know, we mentioned that you have Jason Marshall and Devin Moore as your starters. You have Jakeem Jackson and Dejon Johnson, who are probably your next two off the bench there. You expect to see anybody else at that defensive back position or that cornerback position this year? Or obviously, there's Cormani McClain, but anybody else?
I think you see. I think Jakeem and Dejon are the one that dispel. Like, okay, somebody goes down, those are two guys that come in. Devin Moore got to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Just straight up. Like, we keep hearing that he's the best defensive back on the team. Very talented guy, but he's often injured, missed the scrimmage because he's injured. So we just need him healthy and on the field and available more than anything. But if he was to go down, yeah, I feel that'll be Dejon or Jakeem.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know Jameer Grimsley, I think that he's out there. I don't see a ton of playing time from him at that DB position.
He's had a solid camp. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's doing solid, but he's got some talent in front of him, right?
For sure.
Devin Moore, biggest thing is he's got to stay healthy, right? We've not had a full healthy Devin Moore season ever. Right. I mean, it's not like he's been playing at UF for 20 years. Right. But this could be his first year. But what I do like, Corey, is like all of these names that we've mentioned. Right. And we didn't even name everybody. Right. Like we didn't even talk about Gregory Smith. We talked about him earlier. Right. We didn't talk about Jameer Grimsley. We didn't talk about Josiah Davis. We barely touched on Bryce Thornton. You know, a lot of these guys, I didn't mention Teddy Foster, like, Teddy Foster is probably going to be a redshirt guy. I've heard good things about him. Probably just some depth ahead of him there. But all of these guys, like, you start to look at what your special teams unit could look like as well. And you've got some real players that could have an opportunity to play at some other schools on your special teams fighting for those spots. And this is like the first time I felt confident us not having to walk out one, two, or three walk-ons. No offense to walk-on, shout out Khalil Jackson, but no offense to some of these guys. Like, now you have some true dogs that are really fighting for a spot to play. And when do you get that opportunity? By making plays on special teams.
100%. 100.
So I think that
Greg Smith range is going to be, I got I got like Texas because one of my partners is like cool with Greg Smith's dad. And I remember like hitting him up. My partner don't really follow recruiting. He's like, hey man, my boy said his son just committed to you. I'm like, Greg Smith, that boy's the boy gonna be different. But I think his range is gonna be one of the best ranges we've seen, safety wise at UF. He just still gotta develop. It's a process, you know how that freshman year. But I think he's different than Asa Turner with what he brings to the table. I think Asa's more of a downhill guy that can come run the alley, bring a different presence around the line of scrimmage, especially in run support. But I think Greg Smith is a guy on the back end. We've been missing ball hawks. Mm-hmm. We haven't had a ball hawk in a long time at the University of Florida. It was encouraging to see Castell go up and get one in the scrimmage. But I think with Greg Smith and Castell both on the back end, I think you have two ball hawks back there that could go get the ball, man. Quarterbacks are being goofy and lollygagging. You feel me?
Who do you think the last ball hawk and safety we had, right? Like, because you went from
Matt Elam,
Reggie Nelson, pardon me, Ahmad Black, was kind of a ball hawk. Who'd you say?
Matt Elam, probably the last ball hawk.
Yeah, like Keanu. Keanu Neal was more of a headhunter.
Yeah, he was a headhunter. Yeah, he wasn't a ball. He wasn't looking for the ball. He was trying to.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was more playing that nickel role.
Gardner played star when he thrived there.
Yeah. But it's been a while, right? I mean, Will Hill kind of had it. You know, he didn't know an angle to save his life. But he could, he had that one play against Georgia, that nice interception return. He had a couple. He was kind of that type of guy. Probably never developed the way that people thought he would. But he was kind of that ball hawking safety. But it's been a while, right? Like we're having, yeah. And Will Hill was fantastic on special teams, right? That's just what the team was, right?
And Will Hill had the longest like interception return in football history. I forgot who he was playing, but it took him forever to return. Georgia, yeah, that's the Georgia game.
And he didn't even get Will Hill, I don't even think he got the touchdown on that play. I think he got tackled, but.
Yeah, it took him like 12 minutes.
let's see. Kick Jeremy Crawshaw is obviously going to be your punter. Trey Smack is going to be your kicker. Rocco Underwood's going to be your long snapper. What do you want to do, Corey? You don't have to name names necessarily if you want to. What are you doing at kick returner and punt returner?
You know my answer, baby.
Tank?
No Limit Soldier. You already know the vibes, bro. Big Tank. You take the ball every chance you can. It is not my fault, man.
Yeah, we got Silk the Shocker talking about No Limit Soldiers here.
No Limit Soldier, man. Tank, Big Tank, bro. You got to get the ball in Tank hand. Probably the fastest guy on the team. He's not just a track guy. He can make some things miss, bro. So, not mad. I don't want the safe return guy. I don't want, catch the ball, nearly or fair catch it. No, like every time the ball's in the air or every time there's football possession or a play going down, it's an opportunity for somebody to make a big play and score. So, yeah, give me Tank back there. I would prefer Tank on punt return, kick return. I wouldn't mind Trey Wilson. I'm with it, bro. Put your best players in position to make plays, bro. So, Abrams is another guy that you could probably put at punt return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Josiah Davis was a special teams guy, like a kick and punt returner. I'm not saying that you're going to see Josiah Davis just rattling off names here. Aiden Mizell, potentially. Andy Jean, like you mentioned, are names as well. So I'm curious to see how that shakes out because I don't think we've gotten a lot of intel. There's just a lot of names, right? And like, is Elijah Badger somebody that you could throw out there, right? Or what – what does that position?
Mizell got a lot of film out there on kickoff return. I see a lot of people say Mizell on kickoff return.
They're just following me. They heard.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. I can see the vision. Yeah. Influencer.
Nick, if you're just joining the show, Nick and his beautiful wife had a baby yesterday.
Yes, sir.
So if you're just joining the show, congratulations to him. Tank until he proves he isn't ready. And then Franklin Hall's mentioning a name. DK has some return speed as well.
I got to see DK's speed on the field. I know, like, they clocking him at some good stuff, but I've seen his tape at Wisconsin. I didn't see that type of speed where they're clocking him at. They say they get faster down in Florida. Maybe, you know, we rubbed off on a little
bit. Stopwatch back?
Probably. Probably. The
guys running 4.21s.
Yeah.
We, like, why next not? Time he comes on the show, we got to ask him. Be like, buddy.
I wouldn't even mind. We're talking a lot of receivers. I wouldn't mind one of the running backs like Jaden Ball, like Kaden Daniels, the guys that could break tackles as well, not just be fast. So I wouldn't mind the running backs getting some looks at punt return, like, especially if it's hard to get touches in that room. Like, that gives a guy opportunity to get the ball in his hand to make something happen. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Kaden Daniels or Jaden Ball, like, get some shots at it.
Yeah, let's look at last year's numbers, right? So punt return, Ricky Pearsall had just 11. Trevor Etienne, obviously not on the team. Eugene Wilson also caught one for minus 1 yard. You had Trevor Etienne, Andy Jean, Eugene Wilson. Hayden Hansen somehow got 17 yards on 2 kickoff returns. Was probably an onside kick, and then Jason Marshall was back there one time as well. So we'll see. There seems to be a logjam of what that might look like as well. There's a lot of different takes you could have, right? Like, does Montrell Johnson go back there? Do you put Eugene Wilson back there? Do you worry about potential health risks of having him out there if you have some other guys that can potentially serve that role, right? Like, returning a kick and returning a punt are very different than just going out and catching the ball as a receiver or as a running back. There's your peripheral vision has to just be unbelievably good, right? And you also have the ability to turn it on and shift directions and locate your blockers right away, because you're watching them come down the field, right? It's not like the NFL, right? So you're going to be watching them come down the field. You have to find your lane. You have to be able to make that quick adjustment and make that change, right? And it's not a position that just because you're fast, especially straight line speed, that's a position that you can excel at. It takes a certain type of person and a certain type of experience to serve in that role. So we'll see. Not hearing a lot, that doesn't mean anything, but it'll be probably a bit of a surprise. Game one against Miami.
Yeah.
Corey, have you watched the NFL preseason at all?
Can't say that I have, man. Yeah. To be honest with you.
The new kickoff rules of abomination. Curious to see, chat, what are your thoughts? I don't mind it, right? So, Corey, if you're not aware, now both teams.
No, I'm aware.
Oh, yeah, you're aware? Yeah. The Jaguars beat the Bucks the other day. Surprised you didn't watch that game. I'm going to the Bucks Jaguars game, or the Bucks Dolphins game. Never go to a Jaguars game. A Bucks Dolphins game.
Hey, man, respect my Jags, though, bro. You disrespect the city, but you got to respect my Jags, bro.
I'm not going to respect your Jags.
Man, the way you guys are ruining Kyle Trask, you should, bro.
I'm a Dolphins fan, as you know.
Oh, my bad.
Dolphins fan.
Oh, you got noodle arm Tua down there. I forgot. My bad. It's on me.
Yeah, I think he went 6 for 6 for 5 for 5 for 61 yards and an easy touchdown. And the only snaps that he's played this preseason. So I like the Dolphins to go probably undefeated.
That sounds about Miami.
Super Bowl.
Big lies.
Yeah.
You just turned into a hurricane doing football in NFL games. That's all you. You just turned into a hurricane, man.
The Dolphins turn into manatees when it comes time to play in the cold and playing games that matter. But Corey, I think that brings us kind of towards the end of our show today. I appreciate everybody for watching. Before you leave, we do have one more ad read, so stick around for that. And then you wanted to talk about the Aaron Hernandez
just what you think of it. Like, they're dropping a docu or mini series type situation.
Yeah, it's a 10-part mini series.
Yeah.
Why don't we save that for next week so I can watch that
trailer and whatnot? Yeah.
I know you sent it in the chat. Let's see. That series is going to come out soon, right? American Sports Story, FX. September 17th, you can stream it on Hulu, or if you have FX, you can watch it.
It's awesome. It's Asa Martin.
Asa Turner. Yeah. Asa Martin is a running back that for some reason this show seems to constantly get confused.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that difficult. I just be battling the cushion time as well, bro. Yeah. Yeah, Rick's definitely news. Me and Spence just talked about this earlier, bro.
Correcting the chat, you know what I mean? It helps the algorithm. So before we leave, make sure you hit the like button.
Man, like that's my thing, bro. It's like mispronouncing names and stuff, man.
Yeah, that and depth.
Yeah, pronunciations and like sayings. I always mix up sayings as well, bro. So welcome to the Stadium McGill.
So if you weren't here at the beginning of the show, Nick and his wife had a baby. Congrats to them. If you didn't hear, we're doing a giveaway to the tailgate that Corey and Flow Factor are putting on next Saturday for the Florida-Miami game that is going to feature a bunch of former players, a bunch of people from the Twitter world and YouTube world that you interact with, but going to be a ton of fun. It's a 9-minute walk to the stadium. You're not going to find really a better tailgate location than where they're at. So hit the chat. You're entered. If you're there, we'll do the winners. We'll spin a wheel. We'll pick a winner. If you can go, we'll get 2 tickets. If you can't go, we'll spin it again, and get that out. So let's get to our final ad read. Go visit our friends at Alumni Hall in Gainesville on Archer Road, or go visit them, at alumnihall.com. The best that you can get for all Florida Gators, polos, t-shirts, tailgating supplies, accessories, whatever that might be that you want for the Florida Gator fan in your life, go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them on Archer Road. If you see the 3 drive-through Chick-fil-A, it's right next to that. So go check them out. Sam Adams, congrats, man. Appreciate you helping to found this country. Sam Adams, regardless of the O-line play, love your beer too. Do you see Billy cutting ties with Rob Sale after showing his POS group is the only POS holding the team back? position group. I thought POS. Shout out Sam Adams, noble man. Position
point group. Of sales or piece of shit? What are you talking about, Sam?
Say what?
Yeah, bro. I just I don't know. I want to fire a man before the games, like before the bullets start firing, but you know. I just thought that was something we could move on from last year, but you got to find a suitable replacement, man. But I just think the offensive line should be in a better spot than where it's at right now in year 3. I don't think there's an excuse for us to be where we at. So,
yeah, no, I would agree. I think that we talked about it. It's either last show or the show before. Go check those out as well. Go check out our Urban Meyer and Tate Casey and Ahmad Black and Jacquez Green show as well. But we talked a little bit about them. We just want to see more development. We want to see some better recruiting.
Probably
would have hoped for some better transfer portal stuff too, right? Like at the end of the day, that's the toughest position to develop on the team, and trying to identify good offensive linemen as recruits is also hard, right? Which is why you see such a variation of who's making the NFL. And obviously 5 stars make it more often than not, but you see a ton of, there's a huge delta, right? Between, you know, what your average offensive lineman looks like from high school to those that make the NFL, right? So we wanted to see more. They did bring in a new assistant offensive line coach this year, Jonathan DeCoster. He was a quality control coach with the Browns, if I remember correctly. So what does that unit look like? You have some guys. You brought in some transfers. What do those guys look like? So we're not in the business of wanting people to get fired, but we want to see more.
It's got
to
be something. It's just something just doesn't in the recruiting. And I don't want to like deep dive on this because we about to get up out of here, but you got Osiris Torrance that went first round. That should be an easy sell. Your guy is coming from the NFL. You're able to sell NFL experience, that type of pedigree. And also, we've put a first round draft pick into the NFL, Osiris Torrance. That's just the sales there. And we got the logo. Like, there's just no excuse for us not to be recruiting at a higher rate. And then if you are taking developmental guys because it's a developmental position, they're not being developed at a quick enough rate, you know, for us to be successful so far. We'll see how it all plays out for the fall, but there's a lot to be just desired at the position for sure.
Absolutely. I'm him. Shout out to you. Thank you for the super chat. Awesome show, guys.
Is that really him in that picture?
It looks like it. Looks like a doctor.
Shout out to Doc, man. Shout out to Doc. Yeah. You're like Dr. Love from Palm Beach, man.
Nah, man. You saw that guy got he went to jail and then he got out and they got arrested again for doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Dr. Love. All right. Song of the week. I think it's me. I want to give a shout out. Obviously, you guys know I'm a country music guy on this show. I am also a big Post Malone fan. I think I've mentioned that going to see him was one of the best shows I've ever seen. You had the opportunity to go see him, but he put out a country music album, Corey. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Streets has been talking about him leaving rap and being a vulture and all that stuff, man. But how's that album?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not, I can't get into that debate.
I don't care either way, man. Make whatever music you want to make, man. Who cares, man?
Yeah.
If you want to make country and that's near and dear to his heart, then by all means, go ahead, brother.
Yeah. So he has an album called F1 Trillion. And it's, I mean, he's got Tim McGraw, Hank Williams Jr., Morgan Wallen, Blake Shelton, Dolly Parton, Brad Paisley, Luke Combs, Chris Stapleton, Hardy, Billy Strings. I mean, he went all out and got some big names. So let's see. I'm going to play something from that album. Let's play. Let's play Guy for that. That's the one that he has with Luke Combs. So we'll play Guy for that as song of the week. We appreciate you guys watching and donating and chatting and keeping us honest. Asking questions, and this is always one of the highlights of my week. So we will see you guys the same corner, same time.
What are we doing? We'll announce the winner. What's today?
Yeah, Monday, so Wednesday, we'll hit up the winner. So I think I can. I think we can chat you on YouTube. So we'll hit up whoever the winner is here, and then we're gonna keep that up until we hear from you. So if you were on participating in the show today, if you gave a super chat, look out for your messages. I think we can message you directly, or we'll tag the winner in a comment, and then we'll figure out how to get in touch to make sure that that transaction happens.
Yeah, we're gonna run it back again next week as well. We'll do another giveaway next week, man. Appreciate y'all for hanging out with us, man.
Appreciate you guys for coming, hanging out. We'll see you guys same corner, same time next week.
Yep.